Amen. You may be seated. We have had a chance over the last couple of weeks to witness something that's very rare in the body of Christ. Especially in this particular house, very rare. Usually when the pastor or as the old school say, the angel of the house, when they usually are absent from the pulpit, they usually have to give a subject to preach to those that are ministering and sometimes give them an outline.
Yes, sir.
What you witnessed this last week and a half with Brother Larry Esther, Reverend Larry Esther, Reverend Greg Calhoun, and Reverend Ronald Gotro, you've seen the apostolic at work. I'm not against pastors leaving those they in their stead to minister for them. I'm not against them leaving them a subject or an outline to preach from, because some of them are trying to accomplish something. But when you can walk out the pulpit and know that the people you leave are going to further the agenda of the house, and we all are better for it, because you get a chance to see the apostolic working from a different aspect, from different lives, their experiences. And so it encourages us that we can do it also. Praise God. So turn me to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Now, don't take that lightly. That's very rare, because a lot of times, you get somebody who's preaching, you don't know. I mean, they'll preach some anything, trying to start their own ministry, trying to create a lane for themselves and just mess everything up. So don't take that lightly. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And the 17th verse, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in heaven." Where it says?
This world.
In this world. So as he is, God, and here's what I want you to see about this. When it says as he is, God is just not talking about himself. He's talking about the Son and the Holy Spirit. So anything that they function in, that's how I can function here in the earth. So this is what Apostle is trying to get us to see.
Yes, sir.
If you would turn me to Mark, the 9th chapter, that we can function like God designed us to function. The devil can't stop you from doing anything. He can only distract you. I'm going to say that again.
Yes, sir.
The devil can't stop you from doing anything God has designed for you to do. He can only distract you.
Amen.
He is powerless. So if there is something God has designed or assigned for you to do and you don't ever accomplish it, it's not because the devil stopped you. You just stayed distracted. Mark, the 9th chapter. Watch this. Mark, the 9th chapter. And we will start at the 20. No, we'll start at verse 17. Jesus, just to give you background, what was happening? Jesus was coming back from the Mount of Transfiguration with three of the disciples. So they had the other nine there talking to scribes, and they were arguing with the scribes. The scribes were arguing with them and questioning them. And the reason why it was being questioned is because this man had brought his son that had a dumb spirit. And obviously the scribes were saying, why y'all can't do nothing about this? All right. So Jesus walks up and verse 17, he says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Right? Watch Jesus' response. And he answered him. Need you to underline that. He answered him. So that means whatever Jesus is about to say next, what just pointed at the disciples, it was also directed to him. All right, because we read this and we think that Jesus was called out the disciples. Called out the disciples because they were chosen by him. They were following him. We expect them to do something out of the ordinary that nobody else could do. But that ain't what Mark wrote. Mark wrote, say, Jesus said unto him. Watch what he says unto him. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Verse 20, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And often as he cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, notice what the father says. Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look at Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In other words, he looked back at the man and said, listen, you can do something about this. You can do something about this. He said, if you can believe. Now, I love the way Mark wrote this, because Mark wrote this so we can read this from a perspective of this has happened, but it's talking to our present moment. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. In other words, he was telling that man that you can do something about this just like I can do something about this. But the difference is you got to believe who I am in you. See, most of us are trying to do things or trying to accomplish things on our own efforts or what we can figure out. Look what Jesus did in that previous verse. Let me see what verse it is. In that 21st verse. Now notice what Jesus did. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? You know what? This is Jesus assessing the situation. See, some of y'all just start writing off scriptures. Instead of assessing the situation. See, listen, you have time to assess situations. You may think you don't have time, but if you Luke 19:23, in your patience, 21:19, Luke 21:19, in your patience, possess your soul. Why you possess your soul? So you can assess the situation. See, Jesus was assessing the situation so he would know what to do. That's why he was able to turn to that man and say, if thou canst believe, if you pause and assess the situation. See, the problem is we don't assess our situations. We run away scared. Instead of pausing and saying, wait a minute, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When you pause to assess the situation, it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to tell you what to do.
Hallelujah.
Nobody can solve your problems like you.
Right. Dr. Thompson, right.
Nobody can solve your problems like you. That's why Jesus resides on the inside of us. Jesus ain't coming to do this for us. He coming to live on the inside of us so we can do it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. So Jesus didn't come to do it for you. He came to empower you to do it.
Amen.
And so that's why Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12 is so powerful. Because God sent gifts unto us to teach us how to loose that empowerment that is on the inside of us. Jesus told that man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. Now, watch this. Watch what this says. Go to the 24th verse. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy my unbelief. Now, the question is, how did Jesus help his unbelief? Because he asked Jesus to help his unbelief. See, it wasn't the tears. It wasn't how loud he was that made Jesus do something. Watch why Jesus did something. Because you got to see this. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Verse 25. Jesus really wasn't going to do nothing until the people started running. Look what verse 25 says. Verse 25 says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together. Jesus was going to take time with this man and show him how he can do it. But because the people came running, Jesus ain't had time to teach him. Jesus had to deal with this spirit. Now watch this. See, you got to watch. Jesus is operating as a man on earth, in this particular story, as a man on earth and as a Christ at the same time. He was operating as a man on earth because he would get ready to teach this man how you can do this just like I can do this. But when the people came running, Jesus knew he couldn't walk away with that spirit having the last say so because he's the Christ. And if he didn't deal with that spirit, other spirits are going to try to ignore us.
Yes,
come on, catch that.
Yes,
catch that. So Jesus had to deal with the spirit. So watch this. How did Jesus help his unbelief? Jesus helped his unbelief by demonstrating in front of him how he can do it.
Yes.
And verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him. Jesus took the place of the man. Jesus telling the man, you could have done this. But because I ain't got time to teach you right now, I'm going to do it for you. But it still doesn't negate the fact that we can do it. That you can do it. Watch this. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Right? Verse 28. This scripture is very important. Verse 28. And because see, we get caught up on the spirit coming out. And which is wonderful, but it don't really do me no justice for Jesus to cast that spirit out. I want to know how I can do it. As he is, so are we. I need to find out how I will have authority over these demons. When I speak, they move. So verse 20 is very important. And when he come into the house, His disciples, I like how Mark framed this. His disciples asked this question. He said, his disciples asked him, how? That's called intimacy. That's called intimacy. His disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Now, the way the disciples asked this question, I like the way they asked this question, and I like the way Mark wrote this, because they didn't ask this question in a frame of mind that they couldn't. They asked the question is, what did we do wrong? I know we could do this. But somewhere I messed up, and I need to find out from you, Jesus. I need to get intimate with you, Jesus. I need to get private with you, Jesus. I need to get by myself with you, Jesus, so you can teach me and tell me how you did this. Where is Jesus? Come on now, where is Jesus? On the inside of you, on the inside of me, on the inside of us. The disciples asked, and I love Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer was not, I am the Christ. If that would have been the answer, then it would have been over for us. If Jesus' response was, I am the Christ, then none of us could go any further. That ain't how Jesus answered. They asked him privately in an intimate setting. Why we could do that, Jesus? Man, I need you to catch the disciples' mentality. The disciples, those that followed him, knew that they can do. They knew they had the capabilities to do what he did. Yes. Because it wasn't Christ. Christ, when you gonna give us the power to do this? They asked Christ, would you give us the power there? They said, why we couldn't do what you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
You did it. You here on earth. You've been walking in front of us. We've been seeing all these miracles. Why we couldn't do what you did? Next verse. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by things that we can do.
Yes, sir.
Because you can fast,
yep, yep, yep,
and you can pray.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say, I'm the Christ.
Uh-huh.
That's why that happened.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say, because I'm the only begotten Son of God. That ain't what he said. He said, this can only happen.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's good.
Every one of us here can fast and pray. Now let's deal with the word fasting. Fasting don't just mean not eating. I do intermittent fasting, which means I stop probably about 4 or 5 days out of the week, maybe 6 days a week. I stop eating at about 3 o'clock and I won't eat again till noon the next day. That's fasting. But I can fast and not talk to God. And ain't nothing going to happen. I'm just going to be hungry. Watch this. I can fast, don't eat no food, and watch TV all day.
Yep.
What good did that do? So fasting is not about eating.
Uh-huh.
It's not about not eating. It's not. Fasting is about separating yourself, becoming, getting into a quiet place. Fasting means you shutting everything and everybody off. That's what fast is about. Fast is about cutting everything and everybody off so I can give God my full attention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So Jesus was simply telling the disciples, the only way you're going to be able to deal with situations like this is by you having intimate time with the Father.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's it.
Yep.
Intimate. The disciples asked him privately. They asked him in an intimate session. They asked him, tell me, what we missed? The disciples, see, I need you to understand what you're capable of. I ain't saying you got to do it right now. I ain't saying you got to cast no spirit out right now. I just need you to realize that you can do this.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. See, when you know you can do this, and then you add spending intimate time with the Father, it's going to equal you doing this.
Yes, sir.
See, it sounds simple, but it's powerful. When you know you have certain capabilities because you are a child of God, don't mean you have to be able to do them. You just got to know that you can do them. Because when I get along with the Father, when I get along with Jesus, when I get along with the Holy Spirit, He's going to teach me how to do these things.
Yes, sir.
The disciples had to know that they can't capable to do this because they was arguing with the scribes. What they was arguing with the scribes about? They was arguing with the scribes. Yeah, we cast the demon out. This demon got to come out.
Yes, sir. Yes.
This demon got to come out. I might not be able to do it, but this demon got to come out.
Yes.
The father of the demon-possessed boy missed it because what he should have done. Well, as soon as that boy, Jesus got that boy on the ground, he should have followed Jesus with them into that private setting. Should have followed him into that private setting so he himself can learn and understand what Jesus was saying in the 23rd verse. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Now, see, believing simply means I am convinced.
Yes, sir.
I am convinced that this situation can change. I might not know how, but I'm convinced.
Yes.
Now, convincing is just a starting point because convincing will cause you to get to the truth. When you know that this situation can change, then it puts you in a position to where I go to where I need to go to, which is intimate time with the Father to find out how you want to change it. That's why Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been bothering him? Jesus wasn't asking to see if he could do something. Jesus was trying to assess the situation so he'll know what he need to do. See, a lot of us don't even assess our situation. We look at our situations and in our minds, we become helpless to the situation. We look at the situation and we panic. We look at the situation and say, God, no. That's why Jesus gave us Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess your soul so that you can assess the situation. So you can start asking questions. How does God end?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What's going on here? Because obviously something ain't right.
That's right.
So I need to assess the situation and see what's going on. You can't assess a situation in confusion.
Yeah. That's right.
You can't assess a situation in fear.
That's right.
God has not given us
fear,
but of wait a minute, did it say a sound mind?
Sound.
A sound mind?
Sound.
A sound mind?
Sound. Yes, sir.
So that means that when I have spent time with the Father, I'll have a
sound.
What scripture go with that? Romans what? 12:2.
Yes, sir.
I have a sound mind. When I renew my mind with the Word of God, I'm able to recognize what God is moving. I'm able to recognize His good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Yes, sir.
A sound mind eliminates fear.
Yes.
The reason why you're in a situation and you get in fear is because you don't have a sound mind because you haven't been spending time with the Father.
Yes.
See, when you spend time with the Father, it don't matter what come up.
Yes,
I know I got it. I know I'm gonna get through this situation. I know something gonna change. That's why you can't wait till you get in a situation to spend time with the Father. It's too much going on in your soul to be trying to spend time with God when the situation arises. You need to have a sound mind beforehand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Jesus didn't allow this Father off the hook. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus was simply saying, just like I'm about to cast this demon out, you can cast this demon out. You don't have to wait on me to cast this demon out. I'm on the inside of you. I'm with you. I'm empowering you. As I am, so are you in this world. Not when you get to heaven, in this world. You have a right to operate like Jesus operated in them gospels.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You got to let that sink in.
Yes, sir.
Got to let that sink. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Watch this. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means Christ is expecting you to become like he was here on earth. He is not looking for you to look for somebody else. You the one. he not looking for nobody else to come and make a change in your situation. You the one. You the one. All right. If you wasn't the one designed to make a change in the situation, why did the situation come? The situation showed up so you can make a difference.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I love how apostles say, don't ask why. Mm-hmm. Why I'm in this situation? Like, why I'm in this situation? Don't like feeling sorry for yourself. Just no. What we gonna do about this?
Yeah.
Because you got to be like the disciples. I know something can be done about this. I might not have the answer right now. Let me assess the situation and give the Holy Spirit a chance to tell me what to do.
Yes, sir.
You have the ability to do that.
Yes, sir.
Go with me to Acts. The 8th chapter. That's what this whole transition is about, from the pastoral model to the apostolic model. This transition is about you being empowered, you realizing and you being empowered to do what God has called you to do. To be who God has called you to be.
Yes, sir.
It ain't about you waiting for somebody else to pray for you.
Right. Yeah.
Baby Christian, you may need to get somebody to pray with you. I understand that. But you shouldn't be in the body of Christ no 40 years. And then you still talking about, I need somebody to pray for me.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Okay. You still wearing diapers? At some point, you got to get potty trained.
Yeah.
At some point, maturity has to take place.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Acts, the 8th chapter. I want to point this out to you, how God did this particular situation. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that thou goest down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, verse 27. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So he's coming to Jerusalem to worship, correct? Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. That's the book of Isaiah. And our Bible is started with an I, but it's the same Isaiah. This was written, New Testament written in Greek, Old Testament in Hebrew. So Isaiah spelt E in the Greek. Then verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart and thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, a lot of reading, but I want you to see something. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and a eunuch, and he baptized him. This is what I wanted to get to. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. God positioned Philip to be in this man's presence to help him understand something or to mature him. Yes, and when he was matured, Philip disappeared. Yes, sir. Other words, God was not expecting Philip to carry this man the rest of his life. God was not expecting Philip to stay with this man and spoon feed him the rest of his life. He was expecting him to mature. Now watch this. I want you to see something here. Go back to verse 31. The Ethiopian answered and said, how can I accept some man should guide me? They come back off vacation. And we do this about every other year, maybe. We'll go to Orlando and we'll go to all the parks. We don't do Disney no more. Funny story why we don't do Disney no more. About maybe 15, 20 years ago, maybe, we usually go, we've been doing this for years. About 15, 20 years ago. We went to Disney, and we were married, so I might have been 22, because we had just got married, 22, 23, and Apostle and I had walked outside. Him and I walked outside the room, and him and I just walked outside, and we was just going to the car, was not, and all of a sudden, he looked around, I looked around, we start seeing men holding men hands. Women holding women's hands, and one man kissed a man. Apostle say, what in the world? So after a little further investigation, we find out that it was gay week. We didn't know. We had booked our vacation gay week. That was the shortest vacation we ever had. Apostle say, call the pilots. Get the plane ready. We getting up out of here. You could have sworn it was Sodom and Gomorrah. We getting up out of here. So we go, now we go to Florida, we go to Orlando, we go to Universal. And there is a feature at Universal called a VIP tour. So when you do the VIP tour, you're not waiting in no lines. You go on, you go through the whole park, and you get on all the rides. And for those of you that want to know, yes, I am a roller coaster rider. I ride them all. So on this VIP tour, you have a guide. All right? This person would take you through every ride, explain the ride to you, explain how the concept behind the ride, how they came up with it, and would take you on the ride. And watch this. The guide, listen at me, the guide would get you right to the ride in front of everybody else. Would get you to the line. We watch this. Matter of fact, the VIP tour guide will take you through another route that other people don't know about to get you to the front of the line. Everybody else sitting there waiting. And I mean, they've been waiting. Sometimes it's a psychological thing. It's a psychological thing at the parks. They tell you it's 240 minutes. They'll tell you that's 4 hours. They put it in minutes, so it'll be more palatable for you to wait in line. So we going through the back way, coming up the back of the stairs and at the back, and when all of a sudden they open the door, and we right there where everybody getting on at. Now watch this. The guy got us there. But the guy can't make us ride. Come on here with me. The guy can get you there. But the guy can't make you get on and ride. That's got to be your decision. See, the guy got us up to the point to where they were no longer control of what we're going to do. So once the guy got us there, now we had to make our mind up. She would turn around, she'd say, how many of y'all going? And then it was up to us to make our mind up. Oh, I'm going. Watch this. Our family, in addition to our family, we had Layla's boyfriend with us. Layla's boyfriend is about 6'7". Nolan, he's about 6'7". Now I'm listening. The tour guide would get us to the ride. And on, watch this now. On certain rides, she would tell us, hey, you don't want to get in this particular car. You want to get on the back car because it's going to be a little more leg room for you. Yeah. Yes, sir. Catch on to what I'm saying now? Yeah. The guide got us there. Now watch this. People who've been waiting in line for 2.5, 3 hours, they ain't care how tall they were. You can get in whatever seat that come to you. You ain't about to, matter of fact, you ain't know, I didn't even know there'd be no larger seats that I could sit in. No, they going 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", whatever, they going to squeeze themselves into them other seats. Why? Because they didn't have a guide. Now watch this. You may be seated. So now the guide is giving us these insides, these secrets, right? So now here's the most wonderful thing about the VIP tour. You ride it, you get off.
Ride again.
They ask you, do you want to ride again? Yes, ma'am, we do. Now watch this. The next time we get ready to ride, the guide ain't got to tell Nolan, look for the, because he done got inside information. He done been exposed already. So therefore, he don't need the guide to tell him what seat to look for to be comfortable on the ride, because he told him before. So now he knows on his own, so he can look for it for himself. The purpose of an apostle is to connect heaven
to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened. So all those who are connected can enter in and benefit. So Apostle has been guiding us to this open supernatural portal. But he can't walk in there for you. You got to walk in there on your own. He can't be intimate with God for you. You got to be intimate with God for yourself. He can't do what God called you to do. Only you can do what God has called you to do. He can only do what God has called him to do. And God called him to guide us to this open supernatural portal. You may be seated. We have a VIP guided tour into the supernatural. We can ride as many times as we want. So it makes no difference what situation you're dealing with. You have been VIP guided to the portals of the supernatural so that you can enter in, get with God, get your answer, get your whatever you need from God, and come out and face that situation and deal with it. You may be seated. Turn with me to John, the 14th chapter. You'll never forget that. That VIP tour, you'll never forget that. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time Apostle opens his mouth, we got a VIP guided tour to that supernatural portal that's opened up for us to enter in. Ain't no way you can stay defeated. Ain't no way this situation get the best of you. You're being guided to the front of the line every Sunday, and you're being guided there and say, hey, this is the supernatural. This is where you can get intimate with God. Now it's up to you to get on the ride. Are you going to get intimate with God? John the 14th chapter. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 11. Jesus said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12. For verily, verily, surely, surely, verily, verily, surely, surely. This ain't a maybe. This might happen or it might not happen. Jesus said, I'm dying on the cross so that this is happening. Yes, sir. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, that's what he was telling that Father. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus was telling that Father, you can do what I'm about to demonstrate to you. So what has happened is the pastoral model has robbed us of that. The pastoral model has robbed us. Here how they robbed us. The pastoral model robbed us of that, because now the pastoral model has really put us back in the Old Testament. Yeah, it really did put, well, you got to go to the priest for everything. You got to go to the priest. The Catholic Church still doing it. The confessional sin is where you got to go. To the priest. And he got sin. But Jesus here is saying, it's not, watch this. If you, like Apostle, if you got a good Bible, if you got a good Bible, it's going to be written in red. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. And see, here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus was, if he was in the flesh here today, he'll be crushing that pastoral model. Because you know how I know? Because he crushing it, and he crushing it with these words. He's saying the words that I do, shall you do also. Even greater works. Because I go unto my Father. So this pastoral model has tried to put a cap on our lives. And apostle is raking that cap off of us. So that you can achieve and be all who God has called you to be. The Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither enter the heart of man the things that God has prepared, past tense. But you can't get it until you be intimate. But is revealed unto us by his Spirit. There is nowhere in the supernatural you can't go. I don't think that when those portals of the supernatural are open, that there is any limitations. The portals are open. Now, how many times you ride? How deep you go? How far in the spirit you go? It's not based on apostle. Apostle guided you there. He did the same thing Philip did. Philip guided the man. Guided the man to the port of the supernatural. And guess what the Ethiopian eunuch said? He said, wait a minute. There's some water right here. Notice it wasn't Philip talking. He say, look, I got some water right here. What? Why you can't baptize me right now? He said, Philip, now watch this. Philip put it back in the court. Philip said, if you can believe, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Soon as they found some water.
Yes, sir.
Same thing is happening to us. We're being guided to the doors, to the portal of the supernatural. You can't tell me. That we're not being led to the portals of the supernatural. By us being led to the portal of supernatural, the curtains are being pulled back. The portals being opened. You're seeing things you never seen before. So the question is, are you going to ride? Or are you going to walk through those portals? Now watch this. Watch this. Now, If there ever come a time where Universal may come up and say, hey, you can pay this price and you can get into the park and you pay this, but this time we don't have no guide, but you're going to be your own VIP. I'm going to be able to ride all the rides because I'm going to know all the back doors.
Yes, sir.
Because over the years, I've been seeing how they've been doing it. I know where to go. I know what wall to go around. I know what shortcut to take through the back, through what they call the backstage. I know all how to do all that. So if they gave me a ticket and say, hey, you can do your own VIP tour, I'm going to be able to do it. Why? Because I've done it. I've been guided over and over. What y'all catching on what I'm saying?
Yes.
At some point, you should be able to get to them portals on your own.
Yes.
See, I don't have to be an apostle. I just got to be apostolic.
Yes.
So when I get to them portals and I tell God, I'm for your agenda,
yes,
the portal is going to open up for me just like they open up for apostles.
Yes.
Because the reason why they open for apostles is because apostles is about God's agenda.
Yeah.
So he's teaching me how to be about God. He's teaching us how to be about God's agenda so that when we get to the supernatural, when we get to those portals, God will recognize us just like he.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How many saying what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
See, what apostle is aiming to do is to put you in a position, watch this, to put you in a position to where when we, because there's coming a time where right now the church is going through a transition. And the reason why there seems like to be a falling away from the church is because now the apostolic is requiring responsibility. The largest churches in America are usually churches that do everything for people. They do everything for people. They entertain them. They pray for them until they wear themselves out. And then everybody go back the same. But in this apostolic, it's causing people to have to search God for themselves. And everybody don't want to take the energy and the effort to do that. So that's why it seems like it's been a falling away. But guess what? It's going to be a falling too.
Yes, sir.
So this time when there's a falling too, the church got to be structured properly.
Yep.
So that we can handle the people that are coming. So apostle got to be able to have other people around him that are able to help mature other people.
Yes.
It's almost like apostle said this. I'm closing with this. Apostle was 42. Yes. Yeah, Apostle was 42, so my mom was 39 when Darnell was born. Right? So I remember he was laughing about it there. Apostle say, man, when I found out that Darnell was coming, he said, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm 42, what am I going to do? Then he said, I'm thankful that I had y'all, me, Shauna, and Montrell as being older. Other words, when Darnell was born, we were there to help. So he gave to the point. Watch this. He to the point. Well, Darnell was going to high school before he had his license. Montrell was driving. Apostle ain't had to get up every morning to go take him to school, cause he had. Watch this. He had provided the means for Montrell to have a license.
Yep.
And he provided the means for Montrell to have transportation.
Yes,
and he had taught him so that he can be responsible for getting him.
Yes.
How many see what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, apostle is pushing us not just for the simple sake of that we can handle our own situations. That's the byproduct. When you mature, you can better handle your own situations. But the real reason for maturity is so that the people that are coming behind you won't be all relying on apostles. Well, they can watch us and see us how we handle things, see us how we deal with things, see with us how we take care of this, how we take care of that, how we treat our family, how we do that. And then they are able to learn from watching how all of us. That's why this culture is being created. This culture of maturity. So you can't, it's impossible for you to come into this culture and remain a baby. You can't come in this culture and remain a baby. When you come into this culture, that's why we are so adamant. Not work hard. This is why we're so adamant about this culture. Because this culture fosters maturity. You may come in here and not understand everything, but when you give us 6 months, you give us a year.
Yes, sir.
When you walk out of here a year from now, you're going to be in a much better place than you were when you came in a year before.
Yes,
and it's not just all because of the apostle. It's because all of us are maturing.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So I want you to understand what apostle is doing. What is he doing? He's pushing us to mature, not for the sake of maturing so we can just take care of our problems. Y'all, you saw it. You saw it this past week, this past three sessions. That was maturity in those men. to not be worried about their ego, not to be worried about their ministry, not to be worried about, we worried about one thing, the agenda of God and the culture that's in this house. That's maturity. So now apostle has the ability to go, he has the ability to go deeper into the supernatural. When he can go deep into the supernatural, because he ain't got to keep looking over his shoulder, that means all of us can go deep into the supernatural. That means all of us will begin to discover things about ourselves that we weren't able to discover before, because he's pulling us deeper into the supernatural. Praise God. Lift your hand if you did.